Hello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another feature episode of Aura Talks. Today, we are joined by B, Haejong, Jonas, Mile, and myself. We're going to just dive into deep into the topic of FISA standard money. We just want to understand what the people present think about this concept and the vision and discuss a little bit about the contextualization process that we struggled with and also that we carried out during phase two. Let's just start off with a very simple question.
What about give your name first?
Everyone knows my name. Dan B, hi. So, B, let me ask you the question. What is your understanding of FSM, FISA standard money?
My understanding is this is the impulse that breaks open the consciousness of people to realize that suddenly we have resources that we never even conceived of or even thought of, namely our feces. So poop or shit to gold is really something that shakes people. And they wake up and suddenly they start to see things in a different way. So to me, it was a brilliant insight to use that. And it's a way also because everybody in the world poops. So suddenly we have a level playing field. We're beyond gender, race, age. All of those things have collapsed. And suddenly we have a common platform. And whatever the cultural taboos and all that, they're also shattered by this because you realize the value of feces to make compost and to generate methane gas, which are extremely necessary because you have the power from the gas and you have the fertility from the compost because we need food and we need the power to pump the water to drive our machines and vehicles and all of that. So it's brilliant. It's the best thing ever. I was so happy when I heard about it.
Thank you for sharing your views, B. Do you have anything that you would like to add, Jonas? Because you've been at Science World now for a couple of years and you have been there from the very beginning, from initial conception to now further development of FSM. So do you have anything you'd like to add to what B said?
Yeah, I think definitely it's a very innovative idea to look at how we think about money, because money is such an integral part of, you know, just human existence, and sometimes we don't attribute that importance to it, like because it's around us every time, and so we just take it for granted. But it's ingrained in like the fabric of human life at this point, how we elect people, how we relate to family, how we relate to friends and even strangers. And so I think this idea just wanted to look at how we can change this signifier, and then how that relates into all the other aspects of our lives. So just to go back into maybe the basics, I don't know if I should take it in
you
terms
should.
Of explaining
I mean,
FSM.
I think it'd be great for
so
my
would be yeah. So basically, the idea is that, you know, money as it is now is built on this idea of scarcity, right? There's not enough for everybody, and so that's how money works. You have to work hard for it, and it makes sense because I think human beings, we like the idea of justice, right? Because it has to be fair. If I'm working for something, then I should be paid more. And it's very logical. But at the same time, it takes away from the fact that we're all human and that we have this basic dignity that we should also take into account when we're, you know, interacting with each other. But because we base money on this idea of scarcity, we threw all that out. And so now what Science Warden thought about using feces as this symbol of, you know, humanity. And so feces, as B already said, has the potential to produce energy. It, you know, can be used for compost. There's food. There's the energy aspect of it. And so now we can now create a new idea and conception of money that is tied to feces and in a sense also tied to human dignity, right? And so then if we use this as the basis for a new conception of money, then money takes a very different form. Right now, it's not that it's scarce, but that it's abundant. And so that everybody else sees money as this thing that is there and I can always give it out if I need to. I don't have to hold on to it. So then it overflows into all the other aspects of our lives, like the economics of money, like supply and demand. It's like there's little of it. And so then, you know, it becomes more expensive. So then when people are pricing things, you know, they take that into account because it's still tied to this idea of feces and this whole idea of abundance. And so I think that was what the whole, you know, idea and the goal of Science Warden was. And it wasn't only to keep it in a small community, because as we said, it transcends cultures and it transcends, you know, localities and race and gender. So then this money, this new conception of money, sorry, can be used by everybody. You know, it doesn't need the dollar, doesn't need the yen. So for us, it looked like, ooh, when I heard about it, I was also like, ooh, you know, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we met Orville, because I think maybe we could hand that over to Haejeong, you know, to talk about, you know, Orville in the context of us trying to work together with them.
Yeah, perhaps before we hand it over to Haejeong to further elaborate, like Orville's embracing of FSM, I'd like to add a couple of points. So let's just break down FISA standard money as a term, right? Mm-hmm. So we can have FISA standard and money. So if you divide those two, I think, for example, the example that I like to make is there was a gold standard, which no longer exists. And there's now, we're talking about a FISA standard. So the gold standard, why is a standard necessary when it comes to money? It's, I think, the human race would like to believe that the papers and the coins that we touch, it has some value. Otherwise, you don't believe it in much. You're like, okay, inherently, this note that I'm using has to have value. And that's why I think there was a gold standard decades ago. But the difference between the gold standard and the FISA standard is that gold is also a scarce resource. There's not enough of it, right? And ultimately, we didn't even use it as a standard because it became too scarce. But FISA standard, as long as we're alive as humanity, it'll be abundant. So again, we can make this distinction between scarcity and abundance.
Yeah.
So that's the standard part of it. The fact that there needs to be, for the human race, the symbolism for this value, right? Like, what is money? There needs to be value for the money. And the symbolism before was gold, scarce resource, but then for the FISA standard money, it's more the symbolism is abundant because feces is something we produce every day as long as we're living and breathing. And then the money part of it, even though it's the same term, I think it's used for different contexts, you know. Money in the feces in FSM, it really symbolizes a tool, like it's a tool that really facilitates
medium of exchange.
Exactly, that facilitates exchange, as opposed to we're trying to get also rid of all these negative connotations that money has earned for itself, like money, the term, has earned for itself. So they're different. Does that make sense, Mal? Because you, okay. So with that further elaboration, Haejeong, do you think that it was easy for Orville as a community to embrace FSM the way that we have explained it?
Some years back when I read an article, it was in the Korean newspaper, and I was so stunned because of the concept. It's, you know, the FSM has this, the respect of human. It's bringing, you know, some money, you know, so in a money system, the so put the human in the center. So because it, you know, so all the boost, you know, it's the symbol of, you know, so human. You know, so we are pooing, you know, so every day. But it's now it's the waste. But, you know, so it can be, it becoming, you know, so very productive. And then, you know, so we can be used. So it can close this one circle, you know. So in that way, very environmental. But standard is, you know, so human pool. It means humans are in the center of the, you know, so money system, which was not, you know, never before. So that was, I was very fascinated. And then second, it's, how to say it? It was like a completing the circle of, you know, so the cycle. Like we eat and then we pull and then, but it was linear, you know. So it's just consuming and then it was treated as a waste. But it is like a symbol of, you know, so recycling, recirculating, you know, the system, because everybody's pull and then everybody, you know, so they produce every day.
Right.
But then it can be, you know, so with technology, it can be, you know, so they used for, you know, so they, how to say, produce energy.
Yes. And something that has value.
Yes. Yeah, so that was very fascinating for me.
And even beyond recycling to upcycling.
Yeah, yes. That was really, really good. So I really wanted to bring to, you know, so the Orville. Then this theory of FSM was developing also, you know, so it's evolving in the meanwhile. So Professor Zhou came up with the basic income system. So it was a FSM basic income system he introduced. So he wanted us to try, you know, so this FISA standard money basic income system in Orville. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, so the FISA is there, basic income is there, you know, FISA standard money is there, and the basic income, you know, so these two complicated concepts, you know, so which is very new to people, you know, so, and then has to put together without toilet system. So that was very hard to make people understand, because the whole entire concept is not fully, you know, sort of, polished, and it's evolving. So science world and also, you know, so couldn't provide proper material, you know, so we can also, you know, so explain to the community. So it was quite a challenging process for us.
Yes. So what do you think was the confusion when basic income came? Okay, or maybe specifically to Jonas, I'd like to ask, what do you think is the difference between FSM and FSMBI? So what is the distinction to be made there? So,
BI for basic income,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yes.
For basic income. So as a symbol of, or as a representation, right, of this potential of feces to have value, the team in Science Korea, first of all, built a small pavilion where they had sort of a technology, right, anaerobic digestion system that could take this feces and then convert it into energy, right, and also compost. And so this was installed in South Korea, right? And so the idea was every single day when you use this toilet, there's a Bluetooth system with a cell phone app. You can just scan and then you receive 10 gul, which is the unit for FSM, which means honey in English. So gul is Korean for honey in English. And so that was the idea initially, right? That people could just receive this 10 every time they poo. So then it was a direct link. But then there's also a huge challenge to that, because you cannot have these toilets in every single community and in every single household, right? And I think it's also not as important for the toilets to be in every single household, because if you think about how money works in general, there's always the gold standard, which is the gold aspect of, but people who spend the actual money don't think about it. It's just they still work with the dollars or the yen or, you know, the rupees, because we don't go back to think about what value is in there. Once they understand that money has that value and they pick it up, then they start using it to transact with each other. And so in that sense, it became this idea where it doesn't matter if you have toilets or not, but the fact that you're living, you should still be receiving this 10 gul. So then there was the separation, right, between FSM basic income, which ties back into the idea of basic income, which is unconditional, you know, funds that you receive every day, either in cash or, right, you know, a credit, but it has to be constant and it should be periodic, right? And it should be unconditional. And so this also fed into that idea of a basic income. So people received 10 gul as basic income, and then there was another conception of human income, right, which was more of the gul that you receive from using the toilets, and also gul that you receive from making offerings to other people, right? So when you use your skill to benefit somebody else, you receive, you know, some form of gul, because it becomes a network where people are transacting with each other. So there was this separation. And so when we bring this concept to communities, because it's impossible to just say, take this toilet, install it, and then use it, it's just, we usually go with the FSM basic income, because that is where the human dignity aspect is, that you should be able to receive this on everyday basis. So yes, that was the main difference between these two.
So thank you for that explanation, Jonas. Mile has been an avid supporter of our project and initiative, and he's been there throughout, I think, most of our presentations and like workshops. So that's why we have this special guest with us. So you've just heard a little bit of the fundamental, let's say, philosophical background. Do you have any questions, things that are just popping up on the surface of your mind, like, okay, this is something that I don't understand, something maybe we could more elaborate on?
No. So from what I understand, basically the main difference between the FSM and the FSMBI is basically that the basic income element has been added to the FSM.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So basically people were receiving money every day, I mean, gul.
Yeah.
Every day. And if they went and pooped in special toilet, they would receive additional.
Yes.
Yeah? Is
yes.
that
yes, yes,
put
exactly.
in simple?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the FSMBI component of it, there was no ties to the toilet. Whether the toilet existed or not, it was irrelevant.
Okay.
The feces standard money still stood because of the symbolism behind that, mm-hmm. we emphasized, right? That feces is abundant, that it also emphasizes human value.
So basically, we call it FSMBI,
yeah.
but FSM is not there anymore. There's no more feces. I mean,
it's a symbol.
It's a
yeah,
symbol.
But
there is no more actual feces. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
You got it, yeah.
But we would still like everybody to have a compost toilet.
Exactly. Yeah, because yeah. Steps in that direction.
Yeah. We love the compost toilet.
So. I love that. That's my favorite
thing. He's a huge advocate. So Haejeong has already mentioned that there was a certain resistance from the community regarding FSM, right? So I could see that there was a need for contextualization. Take FSM and refine it to really cater to the context of Orville. So why do you think that there was that need?
First, I think community members were, you know, like, what is this from outside? You know, so they developed certain concepts and then I tried to, you know, so implement in Orville,
mm-hmm.
you know, so first. Although it is very fascinating, but they couldn't fully grasp, you know, so concept without toilet. And then what is this BI concept? And then, you know, it's like in Oroville, some people supported this idea, but another people said we have to, you know, so go for a moneyless society and then we shouldn't bring, you know, so FSM, deficit standard money. This is a different form of, is this a different form of money system? No way, we don't need this, right? So the people, you know, so reacted in such a way. And then, you know, the Oroville tried to build completely different system from the, you know, the outside. And then if they want to introduce something, you know, so another form of money, you know, so system, no way. So they have to say it's misunderstood. And then, you know, so at the first place, when we had first forum and then we were completely, you know, so punched with this. And then that time we didn't have also the proper, you know, so the explanation about this, you know, so the whole, you know, the entire, you know,
the
so
entire package.
The package. And, yeah. So then, so we realized, okay, this fees is standard, you know, so it's a very, at this point, it's very difficult for people to, you know, so grab the concept. So we have to find a way, you know, step by how, you know, so how, you know, so make the people understand. So we have to, you know, so bring the less resistance, how, you know, so people, you know, so the more, you know, so acceptable about the whole entire concept, but not reacting to a certain, you know, so like a title. So we have to find that way. So we have to repackage entire things, you know.
Yeah, I think I'll definitely talk about also my perspective on this, because I came to Oroville for the first time, was it in
September? Exactly.
And when I was coming, my whole goal was, okay, I've heard that it might not be very, you know, like Orovillians might not be really open to the idea of FSM. So I was coming to convince Orovillians. I said, I understand this, and so I'm coming here to convince people. From meetings, I was like, no, this is what the idea is, and it's just because people don't understand it. So I went to this, was it a presentation that we had? Was it at Unity Pavilion?
Ah, yes.
Yes, and so when we got there, we just got into the discussions. There were some Orovillians who came in, and I got into a heated argument with people about, you know, you don't understand money. You don't understand what a currency is. But at the end of it all, I took a step back, and then I realized that the ideal of Oroville is to get to a cashless economy, you know, a moneyless economy. And what we're bringing is another form of money that could or could not be possible, right? But there's one thing that Danby said, that in Oroville, there might also be this burden of, you know, like
past failures,
because Oroville has tried so much, right? And it's a slippery slope. It's very easy for, you know, in as much as we as a science, water, and research team see the potential in this, it could also happen that all our assumptions are wrong, that maybe there's not as much abundance, that maybe people are still going to take this currency and still use it like the old forms of money that are always there. And so I really understood that outside Oroville, we see this currency as a step away from the capitalist system. But in here, people still see it as something that could be a step towards the capitalist system, right? Because it's still some other form of money. Why don't we just strive towards a system where nobody wants to take anything for their offerings? Why don't we strive more towards there instead of introducing something else that still asks people to value, that's still asking people to, you know, put a price on their offerings? And so there I really understood the importance for some form of contextualization. But then I also wasn't clear about how far we could go, in as much as, you know, and not losing that identity of, you know, FSM. So yeah, that was definitely my, you know, take on that whole conversation as well.
Yeah, and to just elaborate, add on top of what you said, Jonas, another challenge regarding FSMBI, okay, let me just take it back first. A couple months ago, I would be like, oh my God, I wish I didn't have to deal with all that negative backlash, because I did a series of presentations in September to really encourage the youth to engage in Oracle's economy or economic issues, because it's such a prevalent topic in today's society. How do we move forward as humanity to share the resources that are on Earth? So I was like, okay, I really would like to engage with the youth. And to my utter dismay, there were certain figures, even in like schools, that were not very supportive and quite actually negative. So I thought, oh, why did I have to go through that? Even in March when I first came, there was so much negative feedback. But what I realized is that negative feedback, that like strong opposition, really helped us refine the concept and like really get grounded in our own understanding and philosophy. So for example, there was a lot of this resistance, because people thought, okay, we already have these established mechanisms in Orville, such as an in-kind system, which is really fascinating, right? There are not many other economies that have such a strong presence of in-kind. And they thought, okay, if you bring FSMBI into it, like, how are they going to cover basic needs? Because basic income, as the term basic suggests, it's supposed to like cover certain fundamental needs. So that was a question we got a lot in these different forums when we're talking about FSMBI. So then we really, in the next series of presentation, then we said, okay, let's really emphasize that this is a complementary parallel system that will not tackle necessarily big needs such as housing, food, but rather the relative individual needs that are tied to where a person is at in life. You know, a relative need for me might be to improve my math skills right now, and a relative need for Mael might be to get swimming lessons. But those are needs nevertheless. And those needs are not being covered right now by the in-kind maintenance system, right? Or like not as good as it should be. So these steps were taken. And I think the reason for me personally for this contextualization was that Orvillians were scared that this kind of new concept would, how do you say, destroy the existing mechanisms or existing progress that we've already made as a community, right?
And also, it was very difficult to explain, you know, so like 10 auras. It's, you know, so every day 10 auras that, you know, so coming out of nowhere. Then where is the capital? That's what the one of question. And then why we need 10 auras if there is no capital, you know? So, and the second one is why we have to share. Why we have to choose three people and then share? And then where we can use it? So these are the questions. Although it's the concept is really good, but you know, so how? Yeah. So people felt it's a, you know, it's completely, you know, so the not realistic.
Exactly.
Right? That's how the people felt. And then see, to bring the new changes in a society, we got stuck in an old form of, you know, the money system. In Orbe, although we have a really high, you know, so idealistic, you know, so aims, we, you know, so manifest the moneyless society here, but still, you know, so big part is run, you know, so, you know, this money, you know, rupee system. So in between, we need, you know, so endless, you know, so this experiment to, you know, so break through this and then going, you know, so they make it, you know, so further steps, because it will not make one, you know, one experiment will not make, you know, so all things in the big jump and then, you know, bring us to the, you know, so top. It's not like that. So I took it, this experiment, it's just one of that experiment. And also the consciously or unconsciously, you know, so system, you know, so that we will, you know, practice, because system is designed like that. So you will receive 10 auras, and the people feel, you know, okay, you see the, oh, I have 70 auras. So you feel, you know, something is there. It's a, some, you know, so feeling of this being abundance, you know, even if it's a credit, it's different. And then by knowing, you know, so you can use, and it will be generated. So this is in theory, we know we are in abundance, but actually in real life, you know, so we don't feel much. So that is one thing. So you community people, when join this network, and then they will feel, oh, this will be generated, and then I will be receiving this every day unconditionally. And the second one is sharing practice. Again, you share with, you know, other people. This is, again, you know, the practice of unconditional sharing. And then third one is offerings, you know. So the community take care of each other by offerings. And then it's like, you know, by the people, for the people, you know, the theories. So these are, the system is designed for that. So finally, we, you know, so could put in this, you know, so wrapped with this package, you know, proper explanation. And then I feel now, you know, the people, you know, so, oh, see the potential of this, you know, the project.
I mean, so as a science warden researcher, I think I will play the devil's advocate in this sense. Also, just so they also get some clarity. So one thing that I realized after the whole event was that we had been able to conceptualize the idea in such a good way that now Aurovillians were more open to it. But the one thing that I also ask myself is, like, just the same questions that you asked, so where does the 10 Gu come from?
Yeah.
People still have the same questions of where does the 10 aura come from? You know, but we've been able to find a good way to conceptualize it at this point, also because we had to think about it and had to crack our minds around it. But it goes back to the question of, did we not give FSM a shot at all in Auroville just because we hit the first wall? And also, is FSM still that important? You know, does it take away from the ideals of the project? And so that's one question that I'd also like to get from the Aurovillians, just because I'm also a Science Warden member.
Yes.
Does it feel like we did not give FSM a chance at all? And I think maybe Miles' input will be also really good because you've heard, you know, the whole conversation. Yeah, you got your...
Exactly.
Okay, before coming back to that, basically about the Aurovillian context and that Aura project... And this fact of sharing money, you know, what I really value in the way the Aura project is currently being done is that sharing part. That basically you have to, it's actually automatic, yeah? You're actually sharing a part of what you receive and it enables some circulation. And somehow it's also a way to create connection.
Yes.
And that's something I really appreciate and value. I think the part that has been a bit questioning for quite a few Aurovillians, including myself, was the part of valuation, yeah? So basically, if I receive 10 auras every day, yeah, even if it's a melting money, at one point I'll have a certain amount that will more or less stay the same, yeah?
Yeah.
Why would I need to ask auras to others for what I'm offering? Because I already have some. So that's a question that I've been asking myself, you know, about valuation. And that has been one of my only concerns, actually, with that project is actually, yeah, why put a price, basically, would it be an auras or whatever, if I'm assured that there is abundance and that I don't need that because it's already covered.
I think it's a lot. My take would be about behaviors and incentives, right? Because we have so much good intention. It's like an abundance of intentions. But then I think a lot of humans, the way we actually get to the action part is through cues. And I see perhaps even through these price tags and like humans, when we see, oh, okay, I could earn 10 auras, I think immediately there's more inclination towards action. So I think there is that benefit, and maybe it's not a strong one, but that's the way I see that valuation could be very useful. Because why in Auroville is there so much intention and people are not actually also going towards the action part of it?
No, for me, the valuation part, I thought about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, see, when, you know, so when I offer something, you know, it could be for free as a really, you know, so from my heart, and then, you know, so can be offered for free. That's beautiful, you know, so but when I practice every time, you know, so every day it's happenings, you know, so sometimes I feel my offerings are not, you know, so it's my consciousness, you know, my consciousness level is not really unconditional, you know, so our consciousness not up really there. So sometimes I feel my, you know, services are not, you know, so recognized properly, you know. Sometimes I had these feelings, not rewarded, you know. These are the obstacles we have to, it's a psychological, you know, so obstacles we took to grow further, but we are at this stage. So these are the intermediate step, right? The unconditional sharing is part there, but then, you know, so this offering is, I can come up with my own valuation because it's nothing to do with, you know, the market price, market values. My service, see the, when you see the interviews of this Aura Fest, you know, some participants, you know, she offered her haircut, and then she said, it will take some more time. You know, they can, you know, they can value their own, you know, services or own, oh, this was so precious for me, and then I want to offer, you know, so this much. But one day they can offer, you know, so in 10 auras, but the other day, you know, so, oh, you know, so I want, you know, so people just easily take it. It can put 0.1 auras. It depends on their mood, their, you know, how to say, the state of mind. But every time they can come up with their own valuation. I think this is a fun part.
Yeah.
The game part.
It's a, you know, it's a practice of, you know, so the valuing your own things, because it's nothing to do with money. Values. So why not? We try it.
Yeah. Jonas, would you like to add something for that?
So I think when we go back to the idea of valuation from the science warden point of view, I think when it starts again from the idea of thesis, right, that now we're looking at this balancing field of everybody produces this feces. And so then, in normal terms, people still think about valuation and demand and supply, and you look at just how we relate to each other, right? If somebody's my friend, I feel bad if I sell something to them. I feel bad if I rip them off, you know. If somebody's a stranger, sometimes it's okay to, you know, to sell something to them for like a really high amount because you don't have that connection. If it's your wife, you're probably never ever going to sell something to them, right? And so it's about also looking at leveling the playing field, because now feces has become a unifying factor. Now it's taken away the stranger thing, because now when you think about money in terms of feces, it means that we are all one. And so then what we're trying to look at, and this is still an experiment, is if we change the conception of money, will it flow, will it overflow into how we relate with the money? So we're giving people the opportunity to still value. Are we still going to see the same, you know, tendencies as we see in the other forms of money, which is based on this idea of scarcity? Or are people going to react differently to it? And so I think if we ever took out valuation, then we'll never really ever know, right? If people are just inherently greedy. Or if it's just because, you know,
existing in
Earth, you know, it's just because the existing systems are what makes us act the way we act. And so I think that's the beauty of still having this valuation part of it and giving people the opportunity to just choose whatever they want to offer based on that idea that feces is that unifying factor for all of us, and that we're all human. And we have to consider that anytime we're interacting with each other in an economic transaction.
So I'd like to also build on top of what Jonas and Haejong said. So I think there is a video that Marie, our videographer, did at the AuraFest, and she asked the question, like, how do you value your offerings? Everyone saw this in our last presentation. And what I really found so fascinating was that a lot of people said, like, I asked other people to do it for me. And this is very indicative of where we are, our consciousness is at. So we are very open to, like, accepting value that's already preset or price tags, right? We complain about it's too high or not, but then when it comes to our own action of, like, valuing our own offerings, it's hard because you're like, am I being fair? Am I not being fair, right? So the freedom to do that is, I think, very beautiful, because it really requires introspection. Like, ask yourself, okay, let's say the haircut example, I got a certain degree, or like I had to put a certain number of years into this, like, how do I value my own offering instead of taking the market price for it? Because that's what happens in society, right? You do a, you go through an education and you value your talent based on like what the market says your value is, your worth. It's not an introspection. It's more like, okay, you take face value what other people has determined for you. So I think that introspection is what I see personally very beautiful about this valuation process. And to build on top of what Jonas said, if there is abundance, right, would people feel guilty about putting things up for 70 auras? In theory, not, because everyone is getting it. There is abundance, right? So this is also really, for me, from an economic perspective, very interesting to ask. Because in the current monetary system, you would be scrutinized. You're like, well, you're ripping people off, you're taking advantage, you just want to be greedy. But why not? Because we're being like we're playing a fun game with different rules, right? So I really agree with what Jonas said. It allows us to test, okay, when we change the rules a bit, do people act differently? Yeah.
So it's like a psychological patterns we already have, you know. So it's a, you know, it's a inbuilt, you know, psychological patterns from this old money system. You know, we are, you know, so the breaking that, you know, psychological barriers. That's what I think. So the first is the joy of receiving, joy of sharing, and then joy of offering. This the last, you know, so part, the joy of offering is I can put like this, you know, the discovery of, you know, the ourselves, you know, like you discover your own potential and what you can share. So many things you can share with other people. It's not only your, you know, the professional skills or your own items. So many, you know, the things. People can be really creative. So it's an endless of, you know, your discovery of yourself. And then also this, the valuation is endless of, you know, the question about, you know, how much you cherish your, you know, the things, right? So that is the practice we have to make, you know, every day. And then we can be, you know, really they stand on the ground as an independent human, you know, beautiful being. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Well, already you see people are very happy to be givers. Yeah. Because it makes them feel good, you know. They want to give to everybody. They want to be generous. They feel good. But be receivers. You see, then they feel, some people will feel, and I've noticed that in myself, you know. If somebody gives me a lot of nice things, and then I'm saying, well, now what do I have to do back, you see, to make up for that? Yeah. So all these patterns get challenged. That's the wonderful thing about the game. And then we begin to see not only ourselves, but all our community members and the people we live with. And I think it builds a higher consciousness.
Yeah.
So that's the important part.
So relate to the, you know, Jonah's question, is this thesis, you know, standard is still, you know, the valley, the, you know, Oroville is the aura, you know, the platform. Oh. And I think this is the, it's a symbol of, you know, the human, right? The human values, mm-hmm. human aspect. And then in aura system, we don't say, you know, the thesis. Here in aura, you know, the platform, but it is everywhere, it is human factors, right? And then it's the first introduction to the community. We chose this way. But the second step, you know, how we can build up this, you know, so real, you know, so the underutilized resources, you know, symbol of this thesis, and then how we can bring, you know, more, you know, so in a deeper level is the second step, I think.
Yes. So let's talk about certain changes that were made, right? The contextualization process. So from the top of my head, of course, the name itself changed from FISA Standard Money to Aura. Were there other changes that were made on the platform or to the concept in general?
So do we want to say why we chose Aura?
Yes, we'll just identify the changes and then we can elaborate on why the changes were necessary. I think that's a good way to move forward. So let's say the name changed. And on the platform itself, there were certain key terms that were changed, right? So instead of saying we really focus on the offering part of it, that like a thing that you were putting up was an offering, right? And also certain terms like sold out when an offering was taken was like put as taken. Exactly. So there were certain changes. And what were the reasons behind that, Jonas?
I think one thing that I realized from this project and at the end of it was how focused it was on you know, like the little details, like some of these words and how they psychologically just
prime you,
you know, because if I say I'm selling something as opposed to I'm offering it to you, you know, I think people react differently to it. And in Oroville, because people are so self-conscious about these words, I think that contributed a lot to some of the results that we saw. Because of course, at the end of the day, to make this project actually work, we would need a change in consciousness. You know, we can't just make this a point system or, you know, like a discount. And then I think that just feeds back into the whole capitalist system of save more money. And so I think some of these changes, which were more of the words, were very, very important in the context of Oroville.
Yes.
But mainly the name Aura. Why Aura?
Exactly. Should we ask B about this question?
Yes.
Why? Because I think B is the perfect person to ask this question because he loves FISA. So he loved the idea of FISA standard money from the very beginning. So B, why was it necessary to change it from the FISA standard money to Aura as a name?
Well, to use the Korean name would have been difficult for people, you know, if we used cool or we used honey or something like that. But fortunately, in 2011, we introduced an alternative currency in Oroville called the Aura. So we did quite a bit of work to get Oroville to use this currency. And so everybody got used to this idea and this name, but nobody used it. And basically, the reason they didn't use it, even though shopkeepers and a lot of people were very enthusiastic about it, who actually killed it more than anybody were the accountants, because they didn't want a parallel system going. Mm-hmm. Because Oroville is accountable to the government of India, and if there's a parallel economy system, all the accountants have to somehow account for these things. And if people have this Aura paper money in their drawers in the visitor center, you know, how are they going to handle it? And it means more work. They didn't want that extra work. They didn't want to be bothered. Even though Nicole, who is in charge of the visitor center, she was very enthusiastic. She said, we'll put it in all the shops. We'll open it up. And but then the accountant said, no, you can't do it. So that's where we hit a roadblock, because obviously you have to have a certain large number of people using this, because if you get auras, how can you spend them? So we had a few people, a raw food restaurant, Anandi, and some Solitude, Krishna did some things. We used it for some fairs. We used it. But people got used to the ideas. And then when Oroville had this big, it was almost like a revolutionary revival. They had what was called the Oroville Retreat.
Yeah.
And everybody came together to sort of change Oroville and make it into a better place. And it was huge enthusiasm, spent incredible energies, and they had a whole economic committee, and they came up with a lot of solutions. At the end of that, we passed auras out to everybody, and each aura was worth 100 rupees, and people could go and get an ice cream or whatever in a few places. But still, it didn't take off. Then we dropped we took the 100 rupees away from the aura, and we just let it free float and let people make any kind of arrangement they wanted with auras. Of course, people didn't pick it up very much because there's not enough circulation. You have to have a community doing it. So people had heard about it. They read articles about it for the last, 8, 9 years. So somehow it was in their head. And then when they heard aura again, and it was connected to this, then they knew something new was coming, but they were familiar. And everybody always wanted Oroville to have, an alternative currency, like all these communities in the world do. And here's Oroville, still in debit capitalism. We don't even have our own currency. So it was important that we use that base, I think, because that helped us introduce the whole new Ora platform.
So do you think that if we introduced it as, let's say, a goal or a Visa standard money, people would not have been as open to embracing it, even if the concept, the way we explained it, was tit for tat, same with how we did for Aura?
No, I don't think they would have. I think because they liked the name, of course, because it's Oroville. Aura means gold and it's connected, all these things. But a couple of the other nice features of it is that it went virtual now.
Yeah.
See, it's gone virtual. So then the paper, we don't have to worry about the paper.
And save the trees, right?
Yeah.
I would like to hear from mine. What do you think?
People would have still been as receptive to FSM?
Yeah, I'd love to know that.
I do think that the name you give to something is very important, and that it's important that people relate to the name of things, And that it's called an aura, obviously, also, gives another value to it and gives a feeling of, I don't find the word in English,
homing.
But basically a feeling of proximity, with that.
Familiarity,
right. Thank you. That you wouldn't have with a ghoul, or I don't even know how you pronounce that.
You were pretty good. People said Google for a long time. People said Google, so we're very proud of you. He's been paying attention.
So I really see value in changing the words, and especially on the platform, not talking anymore about selling something, but offering and things like that. I really find that words have a power and language has a power that we sometimes underestimate.
The weight, yes.
Because it has a real weight in the kind of energy it leads to, And so it's really nice to have an Oroville way of putting it.
Thank you for sharing that,
Manuel. Yeah, but just to hammer that in, I think one thing that also Science Warden would like to know is, can we still go to other communities with this idea of Fiji standard money? And if you were just a random person that we spoke to about this idea, how would you receive it?
You mean in the oral context or somewhere else?
The FSM, just FSM as it is.
To another community?
So,
or let's say even in another community, just to see if maybe our ideas are not as conceptualized as it should be, or, you know, just some...
So, okay, so let's... So I'm going to role play a bit. The thing with FSM is that it sounds complicated. Yeah? That's something that might create a gap. If you tell me about FSM and you tell me it's Physis Standard Bunny, but actually there is no more Physis and all that, I won't get you.
Well, there is Physis, but there's no toilet. So.
But there's no toilet, yeah. But you see what I mean, yeah? That basically you're not creating the value with your Physis, so to say.
Okay.
But it's really because you're actually existing and living, and you create value, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing of FSM is... sounds a bit like something, yeah, I feel a bit stranger with that concept, yeah? Because I understand it's a concept.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me about an aura and you explain me in a very simple way that it's about, yeah, offering your things and that allowing circulation of goods and services and creating connection between people that wouldn't know each other and all that, then it somehow it speaks to me in a more simple way and I relate to it easier. So I think that it's all about, if you want to kind of implement that in other communities and in other parts of the world, it's all about doing a little study of what is the language they use and what is the language they would resonate with, yeah? Some places might resonate with FSM, but I do think that Orville doesn't really, yeah? So
yeah, to recapitulate, I see this change from FSM to Aura as a name. There's a benefit and there's also like an advantage and a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Advantage, again, as Mael said, familiarity, there's resonance, that people are aligned. They feel, okay, I understand it. But again, the disadvantage, and which I completely understand, is that the value of the symbol of Physis being this symbol for abundance and something that has incredible human value, it's not as evident, right? Because Physis Standard Money, it's just in the name itself, Physis Standard. But how do we, I think the real challenge here is then, if we make these contextualization processes, because in another community, let's say in South America, let's say it's called Colombiana, okay? And then the actual currency would be called Colombo then, right?
Colombo.
I mean, because we're dreaming big here. We're dreaming big here, so the vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then how do we...
have a colon in the, sorry.
So how do we then really... embody the thesis, because I love that. Everyone in this room, I think, understands and embraces the value of thesis. But then that's the real challenge where we're at now, because we understood the need for contextualization to make it a global network. But then, okay, we don't want to lose where we came from ground zero, right? So then that's the step that we are facing right now.
So I'll try to plug in on that, actually, because I personally... okay, now that I've heard all of you, I might resonate better with this word Physis.
Yeah.
But before that, I would find it maybe, I don't know, like something, oh, you know, what's that thing? It sounds a bit strange. We're talking about poo.
Yeah.
So basically, there is a preconception. There is something that is already associated with Physis that is not always positive, yeah?
Mm.
So if you call it Physis Standard Money, people might get afraid just because there is an emotional association, attachment with that particular word.
Yes.
So it's all about maybe finding a word that's... Because what we're talking about, okay, is Physis, but the reason why we're talking about Physis is because everyone has it naturally and produces it naturally because you eat to survive, So actually what we're talking about is not anymore so much the value of Physis, but the value of being as a symbol, as a human.
Exactly.
So how can the focus be slightly shifted from Physis to the being? And I think then you might also touch more people, because you don't have any more that strange and awkward feeling that, oh, we're talking about poo. You know?
But I just wonder, like the Chinese culture, I don't think it would bother them because they've already changed it to night soil. They call that poo the night soil. And they pay people, you know, to take it away from their house. And in other cultures, you have to pay the government to take your poo away.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're ripping you off. So, yeah.
Yeah.
How to work with that? I think it's different everywhere you go. We would have to, you know, in the permaculture terms, we'd have to localize it. We would have to contextualize it in terms of site specific.
Exactly. And I mean, from the top of my head, I just got a, what about dung as a word? Does it have as strong of a negative connotation as feces? Because feces is like, as a word, when you pronounce it, it has a sharp edginess to it, right? Feces. Yeah. But when you say dung, it's cute, first of all. And it's still what it represents, still
what
shit.
What about poo?
Yeah, so there's poo. I mean, so there are many, even does that like, does that also refine the concept more? Does, you know what I mean? When we're talking about negative associations. So I think I completely agree from this entire conversation, words have carry weight.
Of course.
And we need to understand the weight it carries. Yeah.
And in South America, you use guano or something like that.
Yeah.
You see, there's so many ways.
Exactly. So the next question that we should conclude with this question, what is there a difference between Aura and Ghoul, or more specifically from the FSM platform and the Aura platform? And then a sub question to that would be FSM basic income and circular basic income. For the viewers here, when we were reaching out to the community, we decided to refine FSMBI into circular basic income because, again, to address the issue of feces and people having this arms at length approach to it. So let's take it one by one. Is there a difference?
I think there is.
Jonas, would you like to elaborate?
I think there is. It's when you, it depends on what you're looking at, right? Because you're always going to find differences based on what you focus on.
Yes.
And I think if you focus on the symbolism in these two sort of conceptions, then you're going to find differences because right off the top, you know, Aura doesn't have the feces and the feces standard. And that was supposed to be sort of that connecting, you know, factor, that leveling, that thing that levels the playing field. And Aura doesn't have that. But at the end of the day, what both of them do is to still rethink this idea of money and base it on the concept of abundance, right? And I think if we look at the ultimate goal of this project, which I think is to reinvent the idea of money, then they're both, you know, going in the right direction in that sense. And I think there's a lot that both sides could learn from each other and could still collaborate on. Because what Aura has been able to do from the Aura Fest and what I saw was to get that shift in consciousness, you know, that we want to see, because we will need that to get FSM to move in that direction. And of course, FSM is doing a lot, but there's also an aspect from the Aura plot, from the Aura Fest, that I personally saw and experienced that I think FSM could also get. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's a right or wrong. It's just a matter of focusing on the right things and just working together and learning from each other in that sense, because they're, in a sense, two babies that are still trying to find their feet.
Twins, exactly. Yeah. B, do you have anything that you want to elaborate on?
Well, I would say that in Oroville, you see, there's still the potential to do that linking, because Oroville has a history of biogas, and a biogas plant is basically something that converts the so-called waste into compost and methane.
Yes.
So I would like to have a revival of that in Oroville.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we could link the Aura to that. Because obviously this wonderful toilet we can't all get yet, you know, in Oroville. And the Korean Pavilion can showcase one of them at a certain point in time. And people will get more and more used to this idea, because people are still using septic tanks and still the whole waste treatment system in Oroville. We have some biological waste treatment, but still we're very far behind.
Yeah.
So the revival of the biogas whole idea, to link that with value and to link that with money and to make that valuable for people, I think is a direction in the future. And the Aura platform may help us to do that.
Exactly. So in last team meeting, we also had discussion regarding how we can incorporate those steps that B mentioned. Okay, do we create a separate category on the Aura platform that really highlights the different experiments in Oroville that turns feces into something that has value, and then how we can create a circular economy out of that? So I think these are the next steps that we're going towards. So, Haejeong, you also wanted to add something to what?
See, Aura Festival was really, for me, the very pleasant surprise, because all the concepts we try to, you know, so convey this, you know, the concept to the people, the presentation, that I don't know how many people just got it, you know. So it's like it was very difficult to, you know, so make people understand of this concept, the grab even, you know. But then Aura Fest, it just happened. People enjoyed, even the small kids, they came up with their own valuations, and then they, you know, so came up with their own offerings, you know, and then people really enjoyed this, the connectivity, you know.
Yeah, the community. Yeah.
Yes.
So they felt, oh, all the Aurovians say, yes, before it was like this, in Aurovia we could feel this, but now it's not anymore. Maybe now young generation, they are bringing it back. Maybe now it's the time. Whereas then one of the guests said, well, we thought these are all Aurovians like this, because they felt it's the spirit of a community. So it means, you know, when you address this kind of, you know, sort of project to the people, you know, with their logical, you know, explanations, it doesn't work. The action is needed. So then, how we failed to, you know, so really, you know, so convey this FSM concept to people, you know, so by, you know, presentation, or, you know, so in written language, you know, so it was not happen. But maybe if we, you know, so make it kind of project, you know, so FSM, you know, so the community project, really the showcase one, you know, so one of farm or one of, you know, the community who already has this compost toilet, and then, you know, they're using this, you know, so that the feces, and then generate, you know, so the biogas, and then really start cooking, and then, you know, so tapped in with the aura, you know. So we have to come up with the real actions, and the people can see and they feel it, you know, and then revive it. So that's the only way, you know, so we can really connect with
Feces.
Exactly, aura, and then these feces, and then the this will be, you know, the symbol of human, and the symbol of, you know, the underutilized resources.
And symbol of also environment, yeah. I would say, yeah, too, yeah. Yes.
And even resources that we don't know exist, you know, like resources that, because what I've seen from at least both FSM and, you know, just the aura platform is how it can also bring to light, you know, certain innate skills that people thought were, you know, not valuable, but then you didn't even know that you had that. And then through these efforts like Unfold Your Skills, you know, like the Aura Festival, people have really been able to tap into that.
Yeah.
So I think it even transcends that idea of underutilized and goes completely into, you know, this whole idea of even resources that we don't even know are there, but that could come to light through these efforts.
Exactly.
And tapping it into the library of things,
yes,
also.
Yeah.
You know, that
and then
is a
bring,
great thing.
You know, so existing also the systems, you
right.
know, the services, you know, so the we collaborate together. That is one thing. And but the other thing I wanted to address is there's some technical part, you know, like when I see the current FSM, you know, Korean version, and then the shops are there, and then the tickets they can buy. And the Orbis, you know, so this Aura platform is a little bit different approach. More we are emphasizing, you know, so this transformation of the consciousness, behavior patterns. Because the Orbilians are more, you know, so like believe in this mother's words. Without the transformation of our consciousness, no change will come. So there, you know, so we... That's why we are choosing special words, you know, for, you know, sort of platform. That's why we make, you know, so education, user education. We put so many, you know, so effort for the user education. That's why we, you know, so make people to come and the real experience, because these are all the part of that. But then the Korean version of, you know, the FSM, it's doing great work. But then, you know, so you know, so the introducing this alternative currency parties, I think it's an excellent job they made. You know, so they are more advanced than the Aura platform. They're, you know, so a step ahead. But then, it's two different approaches. So one is, you know, so this part is lacking in the current, you know, Korean FSM party. What we are focusing on at this stage, because this we feel this is the groundwork for, you know, so expansion. But then, you know, so the Korean, the version, you know, so they are emphasizing, you know, so more, you know, so this, the circulation of, you know, so the currency part and the more, you know, so the pieces part, right? And then, so I think these two experiments will, you know, complement each other
a lot. Exactly.
It's yeah. It's very important because one is mind or, you know, spirit, and then one is the practicality. So it then says aura, you know, this aura, and then this thesis then that FSM is the twins, but not identical twins, but it is twins, and they will complement.
Yes, and just to conclude this beautiful episode. I really like what the team members said in last meeting. When we asked, would you like to further collaborate? What do you think about the future steps? They said that collaboration is so needed in Oroville because even though we do a lot of experiments, I don't think we have reached a point as a community where we're so open to the things that are coming inwards towards the direction of Oroville. And who better to give it to than Oroville youth, right? Who are still eager, who don't maybe have the burden of past failures. So I really see also this entire project and its... this also to bridge gaps and bridge make bridges between different parts of the world and what they're doing. So with that said, thank you everyone for being here. It was a really wonderful episode. Yeah. Mile, I think I think Mile is an expert now. Wow, he's a true expert. Yeah. All right. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in the next episode. As we like to close, ciao for now.